With the power of the internet connecting Kansas City and Cape Girardeau, we bring you the marvelous Jesse and Chris. I'm Jesse.
And I'm Chris.
And we're here to talk about something near and dear to our hearts. Comics.
Comics. Ah, oh, that's what we're here. Okay. That was like my third guess.
Ah, well, I'm curious what the first two were. Let's move on.
Okay.
anyway, so, starting off the day, of course, as per usual, we've got you guys' questions. Always a whole lot of fun. I think Chris had a couple. We're going to start over there, and then we're going to move over to mine.
Yeah, so first, Christina asks, who is the first female superhero, and what was her appearance like? Meaning, Christina is addressing the fact that female superheroes are often dressed in fairly sexual ways, or a little bit like, you know, they usually have form-fitting. They usually have a little bit less worn than male superheroes. Not always, but usually. And I found this out because I did not know this. I mean, you know, Chris knows a lot about comics, but I did not know about this. So it is a character named Fantoma. So Fantoma is a jungle woman. She was a really, really early superheroine, and she's kind of terrifying. She turns into a skull creature and beats the crap out of people who threaten the jungle. She came out in 1940, so that actually only precedes Wonder Woman by like a year. So yeah.
It's really shocking that, you know, the first female character wasn't a woman who attacked you with stoves and dishes.
Stoves and dishes. She didn't attack you at all. She just complained. Yeah.
And then made you a roast.
Yeah, what's the most sexist power that you could think of in the 30s? I don't know. But yeah, she would transform into a horrifying skull creature with still like perfectly coiffed hair, but then beat the crap out of you. It's funny though, because she kind of just had whatever power made the plot interesting. It was a little Superman-esque in that way.
Yeah.
But she was supposed to be like supernatural. But she was super into the jungle. She loved the jungle. She was a mystery jungle woman, and she wore kind of like a one-piece swimsuit. So I don't know. I guess that's pretty par for the course at that point in time. It is, yeah. So that's what was going on.
Right. Yeah, and I did look her up, and I mean she does not have a very feminine form.
No, she's got some big shoulders and stuff. She's a little Big Barda-esque, if you're into Big Barda.
I would agree with that. And of course, you know, art style from the 40s, so everything was a little different back then. But yeah, I see what you're talking about, the perfectly curled, like styled hair of the day.
Right, but then she still had it when she turned into a terrible skull monster. Fun fact, Jesse, Fantoma is in the public domain, so you and I could write our own Fantoma comic.
I hear a project.
I hear a project. Just what we've always wanted.
Writing a Fantoma story.
This is my true calling. So that was Christina's question. If she wanted to know about the first popular superhero, that would be Wonder Woman. And we could probably talk for forever about Wonder Woman. So I will continue with my next question, which was asked by Philip. Philip asks, how do we think, because obviously we don't know, the Captain America Civil War movie will differ than Civil War the comic? Civil War the comic is kind of breakneck paced and almost, it's almost like vignettes, like here's a scene, here's a scene, here's a scene, but they're not always like the same characters in them. I can't see a movie working out that way. I mean, I wasn't a super fan or a super big fan of the comic doing that, but I could definitely see.
Yeah, the movie would not, like, it would just be really confusing if they tried to do that and if they tried to convert that to a movie.
Right, there's obviously going to be less characters. But what's interesting is I think some of like the pivotal conflicts aren't even going to be there. I think like the general ideology is maybe only the only thing that's going to stay. So for example, what is it? The beginning of Civil War, the New Warriors are in like a reality show. and they, as a result of them attacking some supervillains, like blow up Stanford or blow up a portion.
Yeah, they
of Stanford,
blow up a big portion of a city. I think it was Stanford, right. Connecticut. Yeah,
and lost my train of thought. There's no way that's going to happen in the Civil War of the movie because A, there's no new warriors, but like they've only established so many superheroes, so I don't think they're going to introduce a bunch of like people you like no one's ever heard of all at once just to have them as a focal point.
Yeah, because I mean, even like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., like they've introduced a few superpowered folk, but they're all kept, you know, extremely hush hush. S.H.I.E.L.D. has constant eyes on them, that kind of thing. And honestly, at this point, most of them are inhuman. So,
right. Yeah. What else? Spider-Man's Spider-Man's in it. Like, we know that. And yes. It was revealed the other day that he is going to definitely be like 15 years old. So like young Spider-Man.
But at the same time, apparently like he'll be at least a little bit of a veteran, I guess. Like he's been doing it for at least a year.
Right, but it's interesting because the big reveal of Spider-Man as Peter Parker in Civil War is probably the most, like the biggest thing that happened in that comic, other than Cap dying. Like those two are probably the big things. I also don't think Cap's gonna die in the movie because he's got to be around for Infinity War.
Right, because I mean his contract is through Infinity War, like Chris Evans' contract. So yeah, like he's probably not going to die at the very end. Punisher hasn't been introduced as a character yet in the Marvel universe, and won't or he will be. He's been confirmed for Daredevil 2, but he's not like that's coming out after like long after Civil War.
Yeah, there's no way it's coming out before, or if it's coming out, if anything, it might like at the very earliest be around the same time. But I don't even think that's going to be the case.
Yeah. And then, yeah, the big Spider-Man reveal, just as a tiny bit of a background, just so you guys know the depth of his secret identity, most members of the Avengers didn't even know who Peter Parker was, or that Spider-Man was Peter Parker. There was only, like, select handful that knew.
Right, and that since he came out in the 60s. So it's, like, that impact can't be there.
Right.
And that's not really Marvel's fault because obviously they didn't have the rights until you know now. But it's I don't know if they're going to do that. I mean, they might, and I could see that happening, but it's not going to feel quite the same. But the funny thing is like there's no one on the Avengers that you could reveal that would even have any impact because they don't have secret identities per se.
Right. Everybody knows Cap is Steve Rogers. Everybody knows Tony Stark is Iron Man. Thor is a Norse god, so it doesn't really matter, and nobody gives a shit. Oh, everybody knows Bruce Banner is the Hulk. Well, I guess not everybody, but it's not necessarily kept secret.
Right, like, it's whatever.
Yeah, and I mean, Sam Wilson, I guess, has a secret identity, sort of, except not really, for the same reason that Captain America doesn't have a secret identity.
Right, yeah, and then it's going to be smaller in scope. And it's funny because everybody says, like, this is practically an Avengers movie. And I'm not saying it isn't. But Civil War, the comic, like, there is so much going on.
Yeah. So then what you really have to wonder, if they don't have that conflict, is the Civil War actually going to be about registration?
I think it's still going to be about, well, that's true.
Because, I mean, we only have, you know, a handful of characters and... again, most of them are known. The Inhumans are the only ones, and even those are being documented by S.H.I.E.L.D. Like, all the Inhumans that S.H.I.E.L.D. knows about are documented.
Yeah, I don't know how it's going to be, man. I think it might be over what to do with Bucky.
That could be, yeah.
But I don't know if that's going to be the full thing.
Because it just seems like they definitely set up a little bit of the conflict in... Avengers 2 between Iron Man and Cap. So, I mean, that conflict is going to be there. But I think it's going to be more about, like, ideals of how to deal with, you know, threats to the world as opposed to, yeah, registration.
Right. Yeah. I don't... If the Peter Parker thing's, like, a big point of contention, there might be some amount of registration. Because I don't know what other purpose he would serve if his identity is secret. And I'm sure it is. He's 15.
Yeah.
So, there's There's no way it's going to feel as big.
Right. I mean, yeah, it can't. Like, you know, Civil War happened, obviously, after so many characters have been established.
Right. And so, my language makes it seem like I'm trying to diss on the new movie. And I'm just stating it as, like, even, like, the entire Marvel universe in the comics is way bigger than the movie. So there's no way anything in the comics is ever, or in the movies, are ever going to be as big as the comics. I'm not saying it's not going to be entertaining. I'm sure it will be. But it's, I'm fairly positive I'll enjoy Civil War the movie more than Civil War the book. but saying that, like, there's just, it's going to be smaller in scope, which I'm hoping makes it more character focused, and more than just, like, I get that they're still going to hone in on Cap and Iron Man, but I would like it if some of the other characters got a little more focus too.
Right.
But we shall see. But that's what I think is going to be different. So I guess, Philip, that's how we're going to answer your question.
Oh, and also no X-Men.
Yeah, like,
which Wolverine's was kind of a big deal.
Not going to go hunt down Nitro,
right?
Which is kind of awesome
because most people have no idea who Nitro is.
No one. I think before Civil War, nobody knew who Nitro was either.
You're not wrong.
He hadn't been in a comic in like 20 years. Yeah. So what's our next question, Jesse?
All right, so now we got a couple of questions here from Shannon Young, starting off, one of our favorite askers. What is the worst comic film you've ever seen and why? Bonus points if it's The Punisher, starring Dolph Lundgren.
So what about you, Jesse? What's your least favorite? What's the worst? Maybe it's still your favorite. I don't know.
That would be... Okay. Yeah, The Punisher with Dolph Lundgren was pretty bad. I mean, it wasn't, though, as bad as, say, Ghost Rider. One or two.
Oh, man. When he would do his, like, quote-unquote maniacal laugh...
Oh, God.
I was like, what are you... Like, oh, my God. It's...
Yeah.
It's interesting in the fact that it's, like, deranged.
Like, yeah.
That movie is just, like, enough off the deep end that I'm like, okay, all right, I kind of get it.
And, of course, the best part of that movie, and then the most disappointing part of that movie, was Sam Elliott at the end as the original Ghost Rider on his horse. And they had that badass scene where they're both riding to the final conflict. And then Sam Elliott just gets off his horse. Well, that's as far as I can go. Here's a shotgun.
Yeah, he's like, I just really wanted to ride on my sick horse.
I wanted to show you how much cooler I am than you. Now that that has been accomplished, I'm out.
Yeah, bye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the sequel was just... It was somehow even worse.
Well, it was a sequel, so sure. I'm completely in agreement with you there.
Yeah, I don't know. That's probably the worst comic adaptation I've ever seen. And I mean, there are other ones that are truly awful. But Chris, what about you? What do you got?
So until this summer, I would have said Catwoman. Because Catwoman is terrible. They literally, like, it's like someone had never heard of Batman, or Catwoman for that matter, and just, like, took the concept of a woman who has cat powers and decided to make Catwoman. And, oh, God, it's so bad.
It's like their only knowledge of Catwoman was Batman Returns.
Maybe not even that. I guess she does have the whip. But, okay, so it's not Selina Kyle. Her name is Patience Phillips.
Mm-hmm.
Oh God, it's so bad. God, I forget. I'm positive it doesn't take place in Gotham City.
No, it absolutely doesn't.
Oh God, it's so weird. I remember, was it like does she? I think she dies or something, but she's brought back to life by a cat.
Wasn't that the Batman Returns storyline?
I'm positive this is the Catwoman storyline. I'm not saying it's not Batman Returns, but she's literally brought back to life by a cat and given cat powers. And then she finds like an old woman who's like, "You've gained the Catwoman powers." Like, and
let's see. She overhears discussion.
It's real bad.
And I'm trying to. Okay, yeah, she overhears discussion. The guards try to discover her in her order to dispose of her. She tries to escape using a conduit pipe, but the minions have it sealed and flush patients out of it, drowning her. Lying washed up on the shore and lifeless, she is mysteriously brought back to life by an Egyptian. Yeah, that's right. Now I remember that.
It's like a CG cat. Like,
who appeared at her apartment earlier, and from that moment on develops cat-like abilities.
Jesse, that's called foreshadowing. They heard about that technique one time and decided to put it in the movie.
They remember it from like English class in grade school.
like, we can foreshadow by putting the CG cat in here.
And it's definitely not, like, I'm positive it's not in Gotham City, but it doesn't say where it was supposed to be released.
And the whole plot is like an evil cosmetics company. It's like somebody was trying to like find every stereotype about women they'd ever heard.
Cram it all into a movie.
And cram it all into like a complete shit show. I think that's the first time I've ever cursed on the podcast. That's how much I hate Catwoman. But what's even worse, the new Fantastic Four movie. Just don't even see it. It's just disappointing. Like, Catwoman, I once went to a show and paid money to watch a bunch of comedians make fun of it, like, while it was playing on the screen. Mm-hmm. And it was delightful. But there's no way you could even make something where somebody made fun of Fantastic Four. It's not even make funnable.
It's just a guy shaking his head. Like, this is awful.
Just, it's like, and he's like, Jack Kirby would be ashamed. Just over and over, and he's like, God. And then he just, like, halfway through, he just vomits. And then the rest of the movie, he's just rolling around on the ground, just, like, clutching his knees. That's what happened. It's so bad. The Thing is like, this is, like, none of the characters you recognize, and they're not even consistent within the scope of the movie.
I've always heard, just, like, Shannon and I still want to see it just so that we can we're not going to watch it in theaters. I don't even think it's in theaters anymore, but when it releases on DVD, we're going to rent it and we're going to see if it can live up to the hype of how awful it is.
I think it's really, and it's funny. You might be like me, Jesse. The first like 10 to 20 minutes of that movie, I'm like, I don't see what's so bad here. It's not amazing, but you know, it's not bad. And then just like the end just sort of like happened. And I was like, oh yeah, that's awful. Like it finally hit me by the end of the movie just how terrible it all was.
So you don't even get like that new movie high where, like, as an example, the first time I saw Green Lantern in theaters, I got out of that movie. I'm like, you know, that was pretty good. And then
you watch it again and you're like,
well, I just started thinking about it and I was like, oh wait, no, that was okay. Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Yeah, you, I can't remember what the last movie I saw where pretty much all the prequel Star Wars movies. I was also younger, but when I saw them, I was like, all right. And then I watch them now just like with the original trilogy, and I'm like, oh.
Yeah, I mean, like, 2 and 3 aren't completely awful.
Oh, I think 2's the worst one by far.
Really?
I could argue about that. If we had a Star Wars podcast, I would definitively do that. I think 3 is definitely the least bad, though.
I think that if we... I think everybody would agree with that. Also, I think if we had a Star Wars podcast, Shannon would demand to be on it.
Oh, man. God, I feel like it'd be tough to find news every week, except for this year. This year, you're just like... Yeah. But, like, how do you have a Star Wars podcast in, like, 2011?
Yeah, it's... because there's nothing new anymore. Well, okay.
Clone Wars was maybe on, the cartoon. I think that was on in 2011. You'd just be this year's... Well, this week's Clone Wars, there's some good stuff. There's some good stuff with that.
And wasn't even, like, recognized as a good show then.
No, but, like, now people love it.
Oh, yeah.
And I've seen it. It's pretty good. It's better than the movies.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah, it's on Netflix, so that's how I watch most of it.
I did not know that.
Yeah, but what is, I guess you could have talked about the books.
Yeah, yeah, except that all the books are, well, okay, yeah, back then you could have talked about the books, but now they've all been retconned.
Well, now there's new books, Jesse.
There's new books?
There's new books that that are in new continuity.
Well.
Yeah.
And then I know, like, there's so much stuff going on for Star Wars right now. Ever since Disney picked it up, like, been a lot of stuff for Star Wars.
You can talk about the movie coming out this year, the movie coming out next year, the movie coming out in 2 years, all the comic books that come out.
There's so much.
Yeah, there's a lot right now. So that
Okay. Well, before we go too far into Star Wars,
Fantastic Four is my least favorite superhero movie. I've actually never seen The Punisher with Dolph Lundgren. I actually don't really like The Punisher with Tom Jane that much. It's okay.
I like the Tom Jane version, but no, the Dolph Lundgren version. Like, Shannon's probably gonna hit me for saying this, but think like Rambo. But in the scope of The Punisher.
Does he mow down waves of enemies?
Sort of.
Okay.
I mean, it's just Dolph Lundgren doing, like, 80s Dolph Lundgren stuff.
I mean, no one does 80s Dolph Lundgren better than Dolph Lundgren in the 80s.
Or even now.
Yeah, even now. Like, he's still there.
Yeah.
Still in the 80s. Oh, God.
But, yeah, so, all right. That's it's not that awful. Like, it's pretty bad,
it is nearly impossible to find this. I think you have to bootleg it. But there's a Fantastic Four movie from the early 90s that was made but never released, but because they didn't have
Marvel's permission. I remember hearing about this.
But you can find it. Like, it's obviously not there's no way to buy a copy. There's because it never came out, but there are ways to find the footage.
I think I actually heard about this because I want to say it was Comic Book Men. Have you ever watched that show?
I have.
Something about the way you said that.
Comic Book Men is like, it's effectively Pawn Stars with comics.
Exactly.
Yeah, they don't even like when they talk about comics, like it's. So, like, Jesse and I are by no means, like, highbrow comic journalists and can talk about, like, the symbolism and blah, blah, blah. I try my best, but I there's no way I can manage it. But, like, when they talk about comics on Comics Book Men, it's like, who would win in a fight? Superman or the Hulk? Well, I don't know. Superman's strong, but the Hulk can't be beat. And that's just them. And also, there's Brian Johnson on that show. Who doesn't even know that much about comic books, it seems.
Yeah, he just works in the store.
Well, I don't even think he works in the store. He's just like Kevin Smith's friend.
Because he's the guy that what's his name is based off of in Clerks.
Right. And I don't have anything against the show per se, although I just like it's just real low brow stuff.
Oh yeah, don't go there if you're looking for like legitimate comic book information. Like it really is just if you enjoy the show Pawn Stars, but you cannot stand the people in it, and you don't care about most of the stuff that gets brought in, and you like comic books, which clearly you do because you're listening to this show. Comic Book Men is actually pretty good for that purpose, and I think. The whole point of that, some guy brought in the Thing costume from that movie to sell to the store.
Oh, man. I've seen pictures from this movie. It's real bad.
Yeah. Arrested Development is where I heard about it.
Yeah, because they did the best. Oh, God. Daddy's got to get his rocks off. Oh, man.
Because, yeah, that's right. Okay, so, yeah, the Comic Book Men thing, completely made up in Jesse's head. What he was actually thinking about was the Arrested Development show.
And they were trying to make a musical, and they had to call it something different.
Yes, because they got a cease and desist letter from Marvel. And then he actually got the original Thing costume for his musical.
It's real, like the it's real bad that movie it's from what so I hear. I don't know if it's as bad as this new one though. I've heard it's actually better.
It's one of those like it has that like B movie quality to it.
Yeah, like that's a legit B movie as opposed to the new Fantastic Four, which is actually just a bad movie.
Right. Ugh, okay. So, Shannon's second question, something we can probably be a little bit happier about. Your favorite Ninja Turtles, 90s cartoon or dark comic series?
Haven't read enough of the comic series, but I did watch a lot of the cartoon, and there's no way to supplant that for me. So it's just probably going to be the cartoon from the 90s, because it had that theme song.
Oh, plus, God. The theme song is so good, and no, I'm not going to sing it for those of you waiting for me to do so. It's already stuck in your heads. You don't need my help.
I really enjoyed the cartoon. It's great, though. They changed all the live ninjas to robot ninjas because you can't cut up live people on cartoons.
That's true. Yeah, all the Foot Clan were robots.
They are, which like, you gotta be a lonely person if your entire clan is made up of robots.
Well, I mean, have you ever met Shredder? Like, he seems like the kind of guy that'd be pretty lonely.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm with you. I am vaguely familiar with the Dark comic series, and for those of you that aren't. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles obviously started out as a comic book back in the 80s, and it was super gritty, dark, lots of death and murder. Fun trivia fact, it was black and white, but even the art stuff had all red bandanas, so they weren't color-coded like they are now. Though they did have the same weapon sets, they just killed a lot more than what you remember seeing.
Yeah, there's like some goring through the chest sort of deal. There's a lot of
death. A lot of really brutal. I mean, it was very typical of your, you know, gritty late 80s, early 90s comic book series.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
It's just, yeah. Obviously I never read any of that, and I'm right in that boat with Chris, where, you know, as a toddler, I watched the crap out of some Ninja Turtles, and that will always be Ninja Turtles to me.
Yeah, this week, Jesse, this is a bit of a tangent. There was a guy who basically claimed that he wanted to gatekeep people from comics that found comics by watching another media because, like, almost like they were, like, inferior fans.
God damn it.
I know, which is it's so bad, right? Which is basically saying, like, so let's see that, let's say that somebody walked, like, let's say we owned a comic book store, Jesse. Let's live that dream. It's successful, too. Like, we're totally owning it, the comic book business. And someone walks in. Yeah, I know. Great, right? And it's like, let's say it's like a kid and his mom. And the kid's just seen, like, Young Justice. That's a fairly new cartoon.
Except it's already been canceled.
No. I don't need that sort of negativity. I know it has been. But it's really good.
It's so good.
I was really sad about it being canceled. And he's like, hey, I'm looking for a Young Justice comic. And you were just like, oh, I bet you found it from the show. Get out of here, kid.
So how did we become successful exactly?
Yeah, I know, right? And so this guy really just wanted, he said, like, maybe we should gatekeep more people. So it was a big trend on the internet to say how you found comics. And most people, including Big Shots, or, like, big people in comic books, found the comics through various other means. Like, especially, like, we grew up in the 90s, so of course we found comics through, like, Fox television.
Yes.
Like, whether it was the X-Men cartoon, the Spider-Man cartoon, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Batman the Animated Series.
Yes.
Like, I literally did not see a comic book before seeing those cartoons.
Yeah, and that was definitely the case. Like, any kid that grew up in the 90s, watched those shows. Sorry, at the very least, any kid whose parents would allow them to watch cartoons on Saturday mornings watched those shows.
And for those of you whose parents didn't, I'm so sorry.
You missed out on some fantastic television.
Right. Oh, man. Yeah. My mom would watch X-Men with me.
Yeah, my parents would too, because they were actually both, like, my mom and my dad were huge comic book nerds. My dad had a colossal collection that I really wish that I could find because he had some real treasures in there. But I think he sold them all off to fly to Australia. So, which is, oh, it's so sad. Anyway, so they would watch it with us. Same thing with Batman. My dad loved that there was a good Batman cartoon that he could watch with us because right. Batman has always been his guy. And I think he passed that on to me a little bit. And, yeah, you know, we also loved X-Men, etc. It was just, Yeah, it was good. And again, like you said, I hadn't even seen a comic book until long after I had developed a love for those shows. And I really hate people like this individual, this purist elitist, you know, I got into comic books because I read comic books. Like, it's the same thing with people with video games, and they're upset with all these casual gamers. Like,
oh, I hear that a lot. Or like the whole like fake gamer girl thing.
Yeah. That's it drives favorite. Me fucking crazy because it's one of those things like they're so used to this being their own little like club where they've been picked on all their lives for liking or have been alone in liking, and suddenly they're mad that other people want to like it too.
Right. Thereby picking on them and trying to exclude them, which is invariably what happened to them in the beginning.
Exactly. So
did you forget your struggle, man?
You should be welcoming these people with open arms.
Right. Like, ugh, no, it drives me nuts.
Yeah.
Like, I'm really happy because my comic book store is not that way at all. They are super nice. Although, so I've actually, I've only really seen that sort of insular behavior, at least in person, in Magic. Like the Magic community, Magic the Gathering.
Definitely.
People can be such dickholes.
Brief tangent there. It's so bad with that around this area that I created a draft league with a bunch of my friends where I talked to the owner of the local shop, and he let us come in after close once a week with, you know, the promise of selling a lot of merchandise each night we came in. And that was the way I got them into Magic the Gathering, because I didn't want them anywhere near the community around here.
Oh no. Yeah. I had Christy play with me first. Yeah. She was literally asked, when we were at a local tournament, we were visiting her family, but we just decided to go find like a pickup tournament. We found like a shop that was doing Modern Night that night. So we went and played Modern. And, this guy had never met us before. We didn't know any of these people. Christy was playing her first round against somebody, and this guy behind her goes, "Oh, you playing the girl? Go easy on the girl, man."
What the fuck?
I know. However, the person sitting next to him went, "Dude, that's really sexist." And I like hope returned. I should have pointed it out, not to be paternalistic, but I was so shocked for a second. That somebody would say that. However, Christy then went on to win that tournament.
That's so satisfying. And like, I had the same problem whenever, like, because Katie and Krista were the only two of that group that actually went on to play normally. And both of them, like, every single time, they only got one of two reactions. Either they were hit on immediately and awkwardly, or, yeah, they got the same treatment your wife did, where it's just like, oh, yeah, we got a casual here. Got a girl here. She doesn't know what she's doing. Her lady brain can't tackle Magic.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the only two reactions they ever got. And then, like, both of them were actually pretty decent players. But anyway.
Oh, it feels really good when you're in a competitive environment, though, and, like, someone's like that, and you just shut them down.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's few things more satisfying than that.
Yeah, that night Christy beat somebody. It wasn't the guy who gave her crap, but beat somebody and then had to explain to him why she won. Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Beautiful. Okay, so now that we're done with our Magic tangent, Dalton Mankey.
Magic tangent.
Magic Mankey, tangent.
Like the Pokemon?
Yeah, like the Pokemon.
Like the Pokemon.
Yeah, we love you, Dalton. Chris doesn't know you, but I'm sure he would like you.
I don't know you, Dalton, but I'm sure you're a delightful person.
Yeah. He has a question and a follow-up question. The first one, he also has a movie question. Do you think comic book movies should be more true to the source material or streamlined to appease general audiences?
I'm going to answer some. I think comic book movies should be entertaining. I know that's a really vague sort of answer, but if they're super true to the source material, in some cases, they're probably not going to be super entertaining to everybody. And you want them to be generally entertaining. But if you make them too much. If you try to put them more toward a general audience and you do it too much, you get a terrible movie. And I think certain movies have sort of like, it also like that question's interesting in that it assumes that general audiences won't necessarily like what's true to the source material. And I don't think that's always true. Like there's some weird comic book movies that people tend to enjoy. Thor's bizarre. They're like, we're gods, but we're also aliens, and we travel on a rainbow bridge, and now we're on Earth, and we're space aliens, but we're not really in space. And people were like, yep, sounds good. And Guardians was pretty weird, too, as far as comic book movies are concerned. But, you know, if you make characters relatable, it doesn't matter what they are.
That's true.
So I don't know if I can answer that in the way that he wants. Because I think you could kind of do both.
Right. Yeah. I don't think it has to be. I'm with you on that one again. Folks, for first time listeners, you'll find that Chris and I agree on a whole lot of stuff. That's kind of why we're doing this. So it can definitely be both. And I think it actually should be both. You just have to find a right combination because, yeah, if you stick too close to the source material, a lot of source material requires a huge amount of background information on the material or, I don't know. I don't have a B. Sometimes that's what that requires. If you make it too general, like, yeah, I don't know. There's nothing to it, and then nobody enjoys it.
Right, and I think that for a while, the people who made comic book movies assumed that the general audience actually literally knew nothing about comics or anything. Because they would always try to really, like, all right, this is Spider-Man, this is how he got his powers, we're going to have a few scenes showcasing each one of his powers.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know if you need to go that far anymore.
And they did it, you know, three times.
Yeah, so many times. Every Spider-Man origin. It's happening. It's always going to happen.
Yeah.
And I think, make it a good movie that, like, has comic book characters. Like, a comic book movie isn't, like, a genre.
Right, and that's what you and I have talked about before, and I really like about how what the Marvel Cinematic Universe is doing. They aren't making comic book movies. They're making, like, action movies, space operas, heist movies, big stuff like that, fantasy movies, but with comic book characters.
Right, and I think I used to be more picky about as a child, but for the most part, have gotten over. I don't need my comic book movie to exactly follow my comic book.
No.
And I like, I don't, especially like if we got Thor's origin story, that movie would have been terrible. Yes. I don't know if you've ever read that comic, but it's real weird.
Cause it's basically like, it's pretty similar to the actual Norse mythology. If I remember right, except, you know, tailored to the idea that they exist in another realm of reality in this universe. So they're kind of aliens, but kind of not.
But the very first Thor story was a guy walking around Sweden and suddenly space aliens attacked. And he found a stick that if he hit it on the ground, turned into a hammer, which turned him into Thor.
I didn't hear about that. I've never heard that before in my life. Is that really Thor's origin in the original comics?
Hand of God.
Yeah,
the original Thor was a guy named Donald Blake who turned into Thor, but then it was like retconned later to have been he was always Thor and he was imprisoned as Donald Blake as punishment.
Okay, then, I have heard the name Donald Blake.
Right, so that was that. And then later I think Donald Blake was maybe his own character. I don't know. I need to read more Thor. But it's really bizarre. It's just like it would not work. So I was super cool with them doing Thor the way they did it. And Thor the movie is probably the one that is like it's super super different.
Oh yeah.
Cap is a little different, but not too bad. It generally follows what Cap does. And Iron Man, like the whole cave thing, pretty spot on. Ant-Man's different, but it's because they use a different Ant-Man.
They skipped all of the origin of Ant-Man, and they just went straight to the second iteration.
And that's fine too. I don't need to have a whole movie about Hank Pym because they did it in a way that made sense.
Oh, I agree. I loved how they did Hank Pym. That was great.
And it's also good too because Hank Pym in the comics is kind of a controversial wife beating figure.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah. But yeah. So I'm sorry, Dalton. I know we didn't answer your question probably the way you wanted, but it's the way that I think of comic book movies. The way that I think about how they should be, I think they should be entertaining. I like it when they throw in some nods. Like I like the fact that they know that I, who am a fan of comic books, came to watch this movie, and that there's a couple things in there for me. I liked there's a lot of little Easter eggs in Ant-Man, but there's one at the beginning where the bad guy's talking about Ant-Man and says, "I know it sounds crazy, right? Tales to Astonish."
Yes,
which is the very first appearance of Ant-Man.
Yeah,
so I was like, "All right, you know I'm here." In Avenger, like the very first Iron Man movie, at the very end, there, you know, Nick Fury shows up and says, "I want to talk to you about the Avengers Initiative," and that's just when Chris went, and when Thanos showed up at the event to the Avengers movie, like things like that. I love it. Comic book movies shouldn't be for non-comic book fans, but they also shouldn't be for comic book fans. They should be for movie watchers, and the middle of the Venn diagram. People who like the comics and people who don't know anything about the comics should be able to enjoy them. So I don't think we need to pick an extreme there, and I think it can actually be both extremes in a way.
I don't think the two are mutually exclusive is the best way to phrase that, I think.
Yes, that is the best way I would phrase that.
Yep. Okay, so then Dalton has a sort of a follow-up question anyway. What character would you love to see in a movie but you know is too obscure?
Ooh, character. If it's teams, I would have to say Agents of Atlas. So Agents of Atlas is Chris's favorite little Marvel team. There's going to be a one-shot Secret Wars comic with Agents of Atlas, and I'm very excited about it. So Agents of Atlas is a team that was put together that was basically all of a bunch of little superhero characters that came out in the late 40s, early 50s, which was a time when superhero comics sold like dirt. So these comics didn't last long. But it's just a weird team. It's got Venus, who is, I don't think actually the goddess Venus. I think she's just called Venus. But her power is that she can lure men with lullabies. There's Namora, who is like Namor, but it's Namor's sister, I think. I'm fairly certain.
True.
There's Gorilla Man, who's a man named Nathan Hale, who's kind of like The Thing in a way. He's not dissimilar from The Thing in his attitude, but he's also just a gun-toting gorilla, which is sold.
In the pictures that I've looked at, because I had barely heard of this team before Chris mentioned it as we were doing a little bit of the pre-show talk, and then I looked him up, and yeah, Gorilla Man. He's awesome.
He's talking Gorilla Man. And then M55? I think M55? It's been a while since I've read Agents of Atlas. M11. Sorry, M11 is a robot, and it's just a real 50s robot. And then the Marvel Boy, which they renamed the Uranian, he's a guy, he's got like a 50s space helmet on, and has a cool ship, and I think he also has psychic powers. And then Jimmy Woo, who's their leader, who is kind of a spy. But they're just a real weird team, and no one ever buys them, so they always get canceled, which is just – it's just a real shame. It always gets canceled. Like, the first series got – so there was one series that was a what am I thinking? It was like a miniseries. And then a bunch of the Agents of Atlas series, the first one got canceled, I think, after issue 11. And then the next one got canceled after issue 5. So it never lasts that long because it's super weird. And it's kind of weird. It's, like, it's always good. But it's just, it's like things people don't like. Like, Agents of Atlas is always going to get canceled before the X-Men, for example.
Oh, yeah.
Or for... The before like Cap or anything like that. Oh, I'm sorry. They debuted as a team in a What If issue, which I think is basically like, what if the Avengers were in the 50s?
Right.
Instead of the 60s. And then they just threw all those characters together. It was super fun. It was a really fun series. But there's no way it's going to be made into a movie. It was barely made into a comic. But man, it would be so great. If they could do Guardians, they can do Agents of Atlas.
Oh, yeah, man, I'd be
so excited.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know how they could possibly pull it off, like, to anything where you would be happy anyway.
No, they would try to make it gritty, or maybe, well, even, it's Marvel, so they wouldn't necessarily try to make it gritty, but I'm sure they would try to make the robot look different, and I need that robot to look exactly the fucking same.
They would give it the Vision treatment?
Yeah, it needs to be exactly the same. Maybe just shiny and chrome, to quote Mad Max. Maybe it would just be like super, super chrome. But other than that, I need no changes. I need the Uranian to have his weird bubble helmet. And if, my God, if they didn't have a gorilla wearing clothes, toting guns, I would not be thrilled.
Yeah, that's just like, and no longer sold in the movie. Thanks, Marvel. Thanks.
Yep, yeah, done. If it's just one character who I don't think is going to be made, but I would enjoy... Squirrel Girl would be kind of neat. I'm kind of into the new Squirrel Girl series because it's a lot of fun. Not all comics are all ages, and not all ages comics are things I like to read. Because sometimes they try to dumb it down, which is stupid. Kids are smart, and no one gives them enough credit. But Squirrel Girl is funny for everyone. So I'm super into Squirrel Girl, but I don't know. Squirrel Girl's a little strange for a movie. On the DC side, who would never get a movie? I almost said Zatanna, but Zatanna could totally get a movie.
I mean, she's been in a bunch of shows. Like, she right? could easily show up.
I love Zatanna.
And especially with, like, the obscure characters they're pulling into, like, the Green Arrow universe in CW. Oh, yeah,
that's true. So, like... I'm not sure of anybody from the DC, because DC just, I think, has inherently more ridiculous heroes. Who's real weird that's in DC Comics, Jesse?
Oh, there's... I mean, there's quite a few.
So, I would love a Captain Marvel movie, or, like, Shazam. Like, but I can actually see that happening.
Oh, yeah. Because, I mean, he got stupid popular late, like, in the past, like, 10 years.
Well, did you know, Jesse, that whenever, I think it was in the 50s, or it might have even been in the 40s, it was Captain Marvel Comics, or Wiz Comics, sold more than Action Comics.
Really?
It was the most popular comic book series in the world for a period of time.
I was not aware of that.
It sold, I think it sold millions of copies in a week, which doesn't even really happen all that often now for comics. Star Wars might sell that much. I don't know, but Wiz Comics sold a lot. It's just interesting because, okay, I could also talk about what DCU series I want, but the fact that they didn't make a Shazam DCU series, like, I was like, no, why? But he's got a pal named Talkie Tawny. So Talkie Tawny is a talking tiger man. He is a tiger who wears clothing like a person. I can't see him showing up if they make a Captain Marvel movie. That's a little bizarre. Even because in Captain Marvel, like, Captain Marvel was definitely a kid's comic when it came out, and they just did whatever they wanted. But Talkie Tawny's a little strange. Oh, the New Gods. New Gods are maybe a little too weird for a movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. Also, most of the Green Lantern Corps.
Yeah, I mean, they had some of them in the Green Lantern movie. They didn't have the really weird ones, though. Like, Mogo didn't show up, which is a shame. And there's the sentient smallpox virus. He didn't show up.
Right. Here's actually one for you. Arm Fall Off Boy.
Oh, Arm Fall Off Boy from the Legion of Superheroes? Jesse, I know about Arm Fall Off Boy. I I'm fairly certain. So there was a Legion of Superheroes cartoon for a little bit. I'm fairly certain Arm Fall Off Boy had his own episode.
You know what's funny? Can't be true.
I think he had one. Arm Fall Off Boy's thing. You know what's funny? People love to make fun of Arm Fall Off Boy as being useless. We know he's useless. What's the point? What's the point making fun of poor Arm Fall Off Boy? But he's part of like the Legion of Substitute Heroes, which are all the Legion of Superheroes who have silly powers, like Matter Eater Lad. Matter Eater Lad's power is he can eat and digest anything.
Also, I just love this image of Arm Fall Off Boy. My power will astound you. Observe as I detach my limb.
That's our fault. Hey, Jesse, if he ever needs to get through a tight space, he can make his arms fall off and then just pick. Oh, he can't make him. He can't pick him up.
Nope. No, he can't.
He can't pick him up.
He also can't pull off the second one.
It's true. Poor Arm Fall Off. I think a lot of the Legion would actually be kind of weird. The Legion has a lot of fairly normal superhero powers, but just altogether they're a little strange. Especially like with the aesthetic DC's trying to pull, I don't think they would do Legion, which is it's a damn shame. So my father is the biggest Legion of Superheroes fan I think I've ever met. My dad has 60 like comics from the 60s, like 62, 64 of Legion of Superheroes. He still has them and they're in great shape.
That's impressive.
Yeah, he loves the Legion, which is funny because he always said, oh, Chris, I love the Legion of Superheroes when I was a kid. And I was like, who's the Legion of Superheroes? And I'm sure I broke his poor heart. But there wasn't a cartoon, so how was I supposed to know about the Legion of Superheroes? I think so conversely, you know the Shi'ar from X-Men?
Yeah.
So you know that the Shi'ar Guardians, like all their superhero guys, are based on the Legion of Superheroes?
I believe that.
Yeah, like in, what's his name, Gladiator? You know Gladiator with the Mohawk?
Yeah.
He's based off of Superboy.
Really?
Because Superboy was a Legion of Superheroes character, because he would go to the future and hang out with them. Because Superboy could do that. Yeah, I can't see that showing up even in an X-Men movie. Just the Shi'ar in general.
Yeah, I was about to say, I don't see the Shi'ar showing up at all.
And especially the Guardians. That'd be real weird.
Yep.
I can't see Zorn from Grant Morrison's X-Men run showing up in an X-Men.
There's a lot of X-Men that I don't see showing up.
We could talk about that forever. Yeah. And most of these I would like I would love a Legion of Superheroes movie. I would be squee about that. if they have so Jesse, I don't think Power Girl's ever going to get a movie.
Unlikely. Yeah.
Because Supergirl's a thing, and that would confuse the crap out of people.
Yeah, because they're going to have a really tough time. If Power Girl ever ends up being in any kind of movie in any capacity, it will almost certainly be as just another Kryptonian.
Right.
Because I doubt they try to explain like alternate Earths to people.
Right, it's definitely not going to be like Kara Zor-El.
Yeah.
You know, like from another Earth. There's no way. Yeah, that there's literally no way that's gonna happen.
No.
Well, maybe. I mean, it's slim though. I mean, the Flash, the new series of Flash is delving into the multiverse, but they're gonna do multiverse Flashes. You know, I don't think they're gonna be like, oh, here's Power Girl.
Because you know they're I think from what I understand they're gonna be looking at like alternate timeline stuff since obviously. Time travel plays a big part in The Flash, and then, by proxy, The Flash television show. So I think, like, they're going less with alternate universes and more with, like... Well, I guess it's still alternate universes. It's just because it's time travel-y.
Gotcha. So it might not be to the extent of, like Earth 2 in DC, where it's literally, like, there is no Barry Allen in this, in Flash.
Right.
Yeah, the promo image that's the callback to that classic comic where it's both of them running to save somebody. I was happy they did that. I love the Flash because it's weird in a way I never thought it would be.
Mm-hmm.
It is, yeah. So that's kind of like, is there anyone you really want to show up? You absolutely know there's not a movie.
I think Moon Knight is probably one I would pick for that.
Moon Knight. Yeah. Moon Knight's just weird enough that maybe he wouldn't get a movie.
Yeah.
Moon Knight is something they own the rights to. So it's, and knowing Marvel's track record for making weird movies, it's possible. But Moon Knight's really weird.
Yes.
He like, it's like he worships and like a, like an Egyptian.
It's an Egyptian deity. Yeah. That gives him all of his powers.
But he also has multiple personalities.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a thing. It's a lot all kind of packed in. Yeah, Moon Knight's a little strange.
And then he's also just, for people that have no idea what I'm talking about, Marvel saw the success of Batman and decided they needed something like that.
But they're like, well, he can't like just have his parents be murdered. He has to worship an Egyptian god and have multiple personalities.
Yeah, he has to have his, because Batman is the only character that's relatable in DC. He has to have a whole new set of, you know,
weirdness,
flaws, character right. flaws, I guess. I don't
know. Right. Yeah. Bruce Wayne is kind of like the Marvelist of the DC. I've said this before. They had to just go real weird with Moon Knight. Trying to think of other solo heroes. There's never going to be a Carnage movie. But I don't want that anyway. That would be, I wouldn't be into that. I know that's not going to happen. I'm trying to think of things that are getting number ones for all new, all different.
Well, you know, if Deadpool ends up being successful as an M-rated comic book movie, I could see them doing a Spider-Man, like a symbiote story with Venom and Carnage.
Yeah, I don't want that, but yeah, I could see it happen.
Yeah.
I like Venom, but I don't think he's ever been well on the screen. And no. I like Venom because Venom was cool when I was a kid. I haven't read a lot of Venom recently.
Agent Venom I read quite a... Well, I wasn't called Agent Venom, it was just called Venom. But I actually did like Flash Thompson as Venom quite a bit in what I read. It was pretty solid.
Okay. So, I'm trying to think of the Miss Marvel's a pretty new Marvel character, but I can almost guarantee she's going to get either a show or a movie.
Oh yeah, if nothing else, like Sword is going to get a movie at some point, almost certainly. Because Sword? It's like Sword.
Oh, like
that's
the agency.
Yeah.
Oh okay.
Which obviously, I guess you might be talking about like. Kamala Khan, Miss Marvel, but I was thinking of Carol Danvers.
Carol Danvers is getting a movie. There's a Captain Marvel movie announced.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it's Carol Danvers. Like, that's confirmed.
I had not... How did I not hear about that?
Yeah, because Carol Danvers is now going to be, like, Captain Marvel in perpetuity. I doubt she's ever going back to being Miss Marvel.
Yeah, no, it's almost certain.
But I could definitely see a Kamala Khan movie or a Kamala Khan show.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely popular enough in the comic books. I'm enjoying the shit out of it.
Yeah, it's super good.
Yeah, and it addresses a lot of interesting issues. Like, one of the things that I've been talking about a lot recently, it addresses in, like, the first story arc. It talks about how all the baby boomers are calling, you know, us the current generation or Generation X, I guess, or whatever they want to call us. Gen Y? Okay.
Yeah.
All the baby boomers are calling us a bunch of parasitic leeches that are too glued to our smartphones to really make any impact on the world.
And they do really address that. Basically, like you can't let what somebody says about you or your generation to dictate how you are.
Right.
Like that was a really good theme. And about was it like? And it talks about like it addresses like the energy crisis, and like. Climate change to some extent and in a hopeful way. But it's basically like there's like in our generation, like the news is so global and so late and so like fast that it's almost like we're living kind of in like, I'm sorry, we're getting really off topic, but this is Ms. Marvel's worth discussion.
Mm-hmm.
That we're kind of like we have like a despair culture that's being thrown at us all the time. About how like bad things are and how bad things are gonna get, and it's and while like we shouldn't ignore at problems, that we shouldn't just give into the fact like give up, Because it's very about like the these people who there are these like teenagers or like are these yeah like millennials who have like just like kind of given up because all they've just like given into all of like the fear and like things that people say about them and people things that people say about our generation. And Kamala has this really great moment where she talks about like, well, what are you good at? That's what you're doing in the future. Like,
yeah.
don't let somebody tell you what you are.
Yeah.
I loved it. I loved it so much. It was wonderful.
Yeah. It was a really powerful moment just in general. And like, it was just, you just don't see that often anymore. It was really good.
Like it's something I did. Like I read that run fairly quickly. And I read a lot of comics in a given week, but that was something that really stuck with me. Because I thought it was a really great message. And I like that the G. Willow Wilson is writing a comic that has a teenage superhero and is aimed at teenagers and has like really good messages like that. It's nice to get something that isn't just like telling us how terrible at communicating we are because we're all glued to our phones and how none of us study and none of us get it. And how we're all lazy, and we're all entitled, and
yep. blah, and blah, blah. How fortunate we are that we can afford smartphones. Even though at my age, my parents, you know, were able to purchase a house. Most families could support a family of four. I can't get too far into it because I get real ranty and soap, and I need a soapbox just for that platform.
No, I feel you. I can't say a lot because Christy and I were given a lot of opportunities, so like we were pretty privileged like student loan wise and finding job wise that I can't complain a whole lot. But it does drive me crazy because I do know a lot of people our age who are really struggling to pay off their student loans and are really doing the best they can, but they can't like progress through life any further until they get that out of the way because student loans are so big.
Right.
They're like, you know, like some people's student loans are house sized.
Oh, easily or more.
And that's an insane thing. And it's so unfortunate that we are getting really off topic. that it's being placed on people like when they're like, oh, when you're 18, you apply for your student loan and you don't know what money is because you're 18.
Because you're 18 and high school doesn't teach you what money is.
Because high school doesn't. Yeah, that's unfortunate. Yeah. But it's cool how like Ms. Marvel really does a good job of addressing the like generational complaints about our generation, which is kind of neat.
Yeah.
So I like really want Ms. Marvel to be made into a movie or a TV show. That like I want that a lot. That's on like my wish list of Marvel things that I want to see happen.
Cuz yeah, I agree cuz it would be really really awesome. Just that character is so cool and it deals with so many issues even beyond just the whole you know, generation issues. Like there's so many things that it deals with that would be great for, you know, like old like kids and, you know, from 15 and older. That just kind of like they're trying to figure out where they are in life and what life is.
Plus a comic book movie or a comic book TV show with like a Middle Eastern lead, it would be unprecedented.
Especially right now.
God, can you imagine the shitstorm of people who would be like talking about how they're taking over our comic book movies?
Oh man, like just. Just given like the uproar about the Muppets, I can only imagine what that would happen. What would happen with a Middle Eastern comic book star?
Oh God! And you would live in Cape, so you'd hear about it all the time.
Yes, I would.
Yes, you would. From people, you wouldn't even like someone would just come up and tell you, and you'd be like, God, I don't even. Just.
You look like a guy that likes comic books. What do you think about them ruining our civilization?
What? Go away. Yeah. So Dalton, we answered your question and then got on a tangent. Jesse, how are we doing time wise?
We're 4 minutes over.
4 minutes over. I wanted to talk about Star Wars, but I can talk about it next week. So,
yes.
All right.
And I guess the quick thing, we'll do a very quick read Batman, read Miss Marvel, read the Star Wars comics.
It's true.
I think. Do you have anything to add to that, Chris?
Yeah, no, they're great. Read Batgirl. I've been reading a lot of Batgirl recently. Batgirl's really good. I started reading after they did kind of like a mini reboot, and it was called the first volume is called Batgirl of Burnside. She's kind of like Batgirl of Hipsterville, but it's awesome.
That sounds awesome. Okay,
read Midnighter, and definitely read Omega Men because it almost got canceled, but enough people complained that it's going to go to issue 12. But you should still read it because it's really good.
All right, so there you go, guys. If you need some comic recommendations, have at them. Have a good one.
Bye.